पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिता भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीं अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्विषिणी नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दाय तपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णः प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपः प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम् भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामविकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोतीर्णा खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तकेशवः पाराशर्यवचः सरोजममलम् गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटम् नानाख्यानकेसरम् हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितम् लोके सज्जनषत्पदैरहरः पीपीयमानम् मुदा भूयाद्भारतपङ्कजम् कलिमल प्रध्वंसि न श्रेयसे मूकम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयते गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यम् सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनः यस्यान्तम् न विदुः सुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः हरिओम सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् వందే గురు పరంపరా. This is a prayer written by Srimati Radha Raghunathan. As I said in the last class, we will chant this before we start because it is a prayer for Swami Paramarthananda. Param varishtam brahmishtam paramananda rupinam paramarthananda yatim sadgurum pranatosmyaham. From the next class onwards, I just thought, why not give you all turns to actually recite the Dhyana Shloka. So, when we log in at 8:25, I will look for hands raised so that we can just take turns so that each one of you can tell each week so that it will get recorded and it's available for others also, and you will also be able to recite and practice this. So, we will do that from the next class onwards. So now I will start the class. So, Lord Krishna had pointed out in the fifth chapter that we were seeing that a person can choose a householder's lifestyle or the lifestyle of a sannyasi, that is a monk. And both lifestyles have advantages as well as disadvantages, according to one's own temperament and maturity. Now, whatever be the lifestyle one chooses, there is no option with regard to the sadhana that we go through. So, initial sadhana being karma yoga to prepare the mind, and later the sadhana being jnana yoga, which comprises of shravanam, mananam and nididhyasanam. So, throughout the Gita, Lord Krishna talks about both karma yoga as well as jnana yoga. Thus, all Gita students will have to expose to both Karma Yoga teaching as well as Jnana Yoga teaching. And having exposed to both of them, a junior Gita student has to implement the Karma Yoga way of life. And a senior Gita student who has gone through the Gita completely and perhaps repeatedly should aim at implementing the Jnana Yoga teachings or way of life, right? So, Lord Krishna will talk about both repeatedly as we go through the chapters of the Gita. So, from that we have to ask ourselves from time to time, where do I stand? In the case of a senior student, he would have been exposed to the teachings repeatedly, and when the teaching has been grasped very clearly and comprehensively, it will become very clear to me that I am not the body, I am not the mind, I am the Atma. And that I am Atma becomes a fact, right? And I am convinced with the help of the teaching that I have received, and I am already convinced about it. Therefore, I have confidence in implementing this vision. So, implementation of Jnana Yoga is a change in the very attitude I have towards myself, my life and the world around me. So, in case of a senior student, so how does he implement the Jnana Yoga teaching, right? That is what we have to see. And that is what we were actually seeing in the 8th and 9th verses, where we especially, you might remember, Pashyan, Shunvan, Sushan, Jigran, right? We were talking about it while eating, while sleeping, while smelling. I am always, one with Brahman. I remember that constantly. So, Lord Krishna made it very clear, and he said implementation of the Jnana Yoga teachings by a senior student, right, is that he is convinced that I am the Atma, and he is also very familiar with the descriptions of the Atma, and he claims all of them. What are the descriptions? We saw 7 of them in the second chapter, right? So, Nitya, Satya, Prameha, all of that, right? So, which means I don't look upon myself as an individual living in this world, but I look upon myself as a sarva adhara in whom the world is there, and I am not in the world, but the world is in me, because I am the all-pervading consciousness, right? Nityaha sarvagataha sanuhu achaloyam sanatana. We saw all that, right? So, senior students will remember all this. Junior students will not remember these. In fact, they will find it initially difficult even to recall the teachings that were done in a particular class. From that, it will be chapter. Then, you know, we'll be able to talk about the teachings. Then you assimilate, right? It's a long journey. So it requires repeated shravanam. And I am not in the world and the world is in me. To have that feeling, right? And it should be one with you, this feeling. I am the Atma, which is Akarta and Abhokta, who is not affected by karma and karma phalam. And I am no more a seeker of moksha. I am not expecting moksha to come to me at a future point in time, because as Atma, I know moksha is my very nature. I am ever liberated, right? So I don't seek moksha, but I practice claiming moksha. In karma yoga, I seek moksha. In jnana yoga, I don't seek, but I claim. This is the biggest difference. So this requires tremendous conviction in my knowledge, and for me, this becomes a fact, right? And whatever I do is nothing but a vesham I am putting up. So body mind is a costume, right? Vasamsi jirnani yata vihaya, we saw. So with this body mind costume, I am only playing different roles, right? And directed in this cosmic drama, which is directed by Lord Ishwara, right? In the Ishwara's drama, with the body mind costume, I am playing different roles. But whatever roles I play, I am different from these roles. I am nothing but the Atma who is beyond all these roles, and my Purnatvam and my Moksha can never be disturbed by the events that are happening in this life. And this is the perspective that a Jnana Yogi or a senior Gita student attempts to implement. Right? And this week's Guru Purnima talk on Tuesday was incidentally on this subject, right? So on the next slide, I actually have put up the link, because this talk is available freely. You can listen to it online. I put the link here. So actually here, Swamiji talked of two methods of handling prarabdha for a person who has gained jnanam and who is a jivan mukta, right? So he talked about two methods of handling prarabdha. One, he said, was more popular even with Shankaracharya, which is the Pashyan Shunvan Jigran method, which is I see, smell, taste, whatever I do is Brahman, and nothing other than Brahman exists and everything else is mithya. This is Shankaracharya's teaching. Second method is post Shankaracharya's, right? And of course it has been hinted by Shankaracharya also, is the happiness derived from Nididhyasanam, right? The primary aim of Nididhyasanam is assimilation, or what they call Viparita Bhavana Nivritti. Viparita Bhavana means thinking I am not the Atma. That is Viparita Bhavana, right? So through Nididhyasanam, you assimilate that I am the Atma. So in Vidyaranya, in Jivan Mukta Mukti Viveka, he talks about this kind of, the second kind of method for handling prarabdha once you attain jnana, right? Where he sort of, while the first one is dismissing the world as Nityatvam, the second one is reveling in the Ananda Swarupam, Ananda that you get out of Nididhyasana, right? So both are distinctly different, right? So as Swamiji says, initially the Mityatva Bhavana helps you handle the world. Then once you are across that stage, when you are in Nididhyasanam and you are assimilating the knowledge, the Ananda that you derive is what makes you handle Prarabdha, right? So in Kaivalya Upanishad, in fact, he quoted that on that day, the 14th mantra, right? Talks about Puratraye Kridati Yascha Jivaha Tatastu Jatam Sakalam Vichitram, right? This is a form of a Mahavakyam where in Kaivalya Upanishad, it is said that all this diversity, right, is born out of me alone. The diversity is Puratraye, right? Where this Jiva sports in the three worlds of experience. Moreover, the three worlds resolve into which this indivisible consciousness and Ananda, the substratum of all. This is a Mahavakyam which occurs in the Kaivalya Upanishad in the 14th mantra. So Swamiji has spoken about this very nicely. It's a 45-minute talk. So if you can, please listen to it. I just put up the link there, and it's a free talk. So you can just go in and listen online. right? So coming back to our what we were seeing, right? As long as I feel that this is too much for me to implement, right? I am far away from this. As long as I don't have confidence, I have to continue as a junior student, and it automatically indicates that I am a junior student. But whether one is junior or senior, it does not depend on the number of years, but it is dependent on the my conviction and confidence in the implementation, right? So if I am not confident, I need not feel bad about it. I can continue to study Gita repeatedly until I get confidence, right? I just accept that I am a junior student, right? So instead of Jnana Yoga, I implement Karma Yoga teaching, right? What is Karma Yoga teaching? Some of them are the Panchamahayagna, then the ride that we learned, right? And then the Ishwara Arpana Bhava and Ishwara Prasada Bhava, right? So thus every Gita student, according to the level of maturity, must be implementing either Karma Yoga teaching or Jnana Yoga teaching. So in verses 8 and 9, Lord Krishna talked about a senior student implementing the Jnana Yoga teaching, right? And Lord Krishna will repeatedly talk about both, right? So again, the senior student will be talked about verse 13 onwards. Now in the following shlokas, Lord Krishna comes to the junior student, right? And the whole Gita will actually be a mix of both junior and senior student, right? Now, it depends. If I am not able to implement the Jnana Yoga teaching, then I just have to continue with Shravana, and then I will have confidence of implementing, right? So, now the following shlokas are going to speak about the junior student Karma Yoga implementation, right? Now, we cannot say I want to implement both simultaneously. It is not possible, because a junior should seek moksha as a future event, whereas the senior student should not seek moksha, but claim. He should learn to claim moksha, right? Seeker of moksha is not able to claim it. It will become an oxymoron, right? Therefore, one who is seeking moksha, another is claiming moksha. So one excludes the other, right? That's why you cannot implement both simultaneously, right? Now, the question is, what is Karma Yoga implementation? So from verses 10 to 12, we will be seeing that. Continuing. Brahmanyadhaya karmani. Brahmanyadhaya karmani. Sangam tyaktva karoti yah. Sangam tyaktva karoti yah. Lipyatena sapapena. Lipyatena sapapena. Padma Patra Vimambhasa. The contrast between a senior student and a junior student is very, very clear, right? A senior student claims, I am akarta abhokta, whereas a junior student who wants to implement Karma Yoga looks upon himself as a karta bhokta. Since I am a karta, right, doer of action, right, because I am the body-mind complex, since it is involved in various activities, therefore, I am doing both secular as well as sacred karma, right? So, as an individual bhokta, I do. And when I do karma as a junior student, I want to entertain an appropriate attitude. What is that? Lord Krishna says, karmani brahmani adaya. Brahmani means Ishwara, the Lord Bhagavan. So, Bhagavan, whom I can visualize in any form that I like, depending upon my Ishta Devata. So, if I love to worship Bhagavan as Vishnu, fine. Rama as fine. Shiva as fine. Even though Bhagavan is one, I can worship in whatever form I like, right? So, that is Ishta Devata. I dedicate my action to the Lord, that Ishta Devata, right? Brahmani means, very important, Saguna Brahma Ishwara, right? Saguna Brahma Ishwara is a personal Ishwara who is endowed with guna. Brahman is nirgunam, right? You must remember that here. So, what do you mean by dedication of karma to the Lord? Dedication means I remember my relationship as a karta and Bhagavan. The relationship I invoke, I bring to my awareness. So, what is the relationship? I am the karta, And every karma I do will have to produce an appropriate result according to the law of karma. Every action is governed by innumerable laws, right? Many of them I don't know. Most of them I cannot control. Therefore, the result is determined by somebody who is the creator and the manager of the law of karma. Who is that Ishvara? He alone gives us the result of every action I do according to the law of karma. Therefore, Ishvara is called Karma Phala Data. What result I am going to get is determined by Ishvara as per the law, right? So, even though the local people, my boss or my neighbors could be giving me the result, it is not them, but it is Bhagawan giving the result through the local people. The boss does not give me a promotion or demotion, or as Swamiji says, motion, that is see me out of the company, right? It means job loss, but Bhagawan gives it through the people, right? So whatever I do goes to Bhagawan, and whatever I receive comes back from Bhagawan. And I am the karta and Bhagawan is the data, right? Ishvara gives the result according to the law of karma, but not according to my likes and dislikes. So this I remember. Karmani eva adhikaraha. I have control over the action. I have no control over the result. What is going to happen is a result of the law of karma, right? Very important. Now, this example you could have seen even in the cricket test match now recently, right? Nobody ever knew, and the result of the match was because of some rule that was framed and signed off by somebody who never even thought that it would ever occur, right? So, this is an example that you can see, right? Swamiji talks a lot about cricket, but I thought this was absolutely relevant that happened so recently, right? So, sometimes you can only do this much. Beyond that, it is the play of the resultant set of actions that are coming, right? So, what will be the result? No one knows, right? What, did anybody know about this particular match? What kind of result will come? It was completely, determined by some totally third irrelevant factor which nobody would have even thought or considered, right? So, remembering this is called Ishwararpana Bhava, right? So we saw this in the third chapter, and being very important, God, Lord Krishna keeps repeating this, right? So then he says Sangam Tyaktva. Very important principle is to reduce anxiety. Anxiety reduction method, what is it? Drop your obsession with the future result. So take it as Ishvara Prasada, right? Don't go on projecting the future and go on being anxious of the result. We have no way of knowing or controlling the result. Very important when I say this, alongside I always say, one factor is free will and the effort that you put in into the karma, right, into whatever work you are doing. Then there is the invisible prarabdha karma that is working on it. So the resultant, you don't know how it is going to impact, right? On the other hand, if I practice an appropriate attitude, that is the karma yogi attitude, enjoy the work itself, right? I am interested in success, but I am ready, I am willing to go through any result you want me to go through according to the law of karma. So if I think that way, right, and then begin the work, the anxiety is greatly reduced, right. So the result may also be unfavorable, right. If it is unfavorable, I am willing to go through it without questioning your sense of fairness. Very important. Many of us, when we have a problem, that time we question the fairness of Ishvara. Other times we don't, right? When we get success, God is fair. When we get failure, God is unfair. This is very, very unfair, Ishvara says, right? Whatever be the result, I will not question the fairness of God. I am willing to go through, I should declare. Especially in important projects, right? Not only that, I want to declare it from my innermost heart and I mean it. I seek the courage to make this statement, first of all, right? I require tremendous courage. Oh Lord, give me the courage to make the statement. Whatever you are going to give, I am willing to go through. Give me the courage to implement this, right? Very, very important. And courage before result comes and strength after the result comes. If I have got the courage and strength to make the statement and implement the statement, I will be able to accept both success and failure. Sukha dukhe same kritva labha labhav jaya jayav. We saw this earlier, right? So anything that comes, I'm ready to welcome with an open hand, right? Prasada bhavana, right? If I have got this attitude, then the biggest advantage is what? You are having a kind of a emotional shock absorber, plus it will give me an opportunity for spiritual growth, right? Oh Lord, give me strength and courage. This attitude is what I have to implement. Therefore, Sangam Tyaktva Yaha Karoti. If I follow this way of life, right, what will I get? Saha Papena Papnena Na Lipyate. That Karma Yogi is not affected too much emotionally by adverse results. Na Lipyate means he is not shattered, not affected too much, right? So, to remember Swamiji's formula, what? FIR reduction will take place, right? You remember what is FIR? Frequency, intensity and recovery period after an emotional impact, right? So whether it is anger, shock, depression, etc., the frequency will come down, right? Intensity will also come down. And there is an emotional resilience that gets built up to get up quickly and move on. Life is a series of pleasurable and painful experiences, and I should move on. I should not permanently sit talking about this all the time. Now, this is a big problem when you are exposed to teaching and repeatedly exposed before a problem hits you, then you are able to handle adversities. But if a person is going through an adversity and you want to bring that person to Gita, it is not possible. It will be very difficult for that person to assimilate the teaching. That is the difference. You see that some people's pet dog dies, they are not able to come out of it for 6 months, 7 months, right? So, and as per our Hindu system, Hindu religion, even when family members die, right, we are supposed to have mourning only for that whatever 10-day, 13-day period. You are supposed to get out after that and do your normal work. That is the, and the Hindu religion and rites make sure that during that period, people will keep on talking to you, you will keep talking and you will exhaust and you will become emotionally resilient after that, right? So very, very important. But this teaching, we should have got exposed to earlier in life before the some adversity hits us. So what Krishna says is just that, right? And then he says, such a jnani, such a karma yogi, these kind of situations will not have any adverse effect. And he says, Padma Patram Ivambatha, like lotus leaf on top of that water is there, right? The water will just keep moving and it will not get wet. Similarly, a healthy karma yogi householder will face varieties of situations when many family members are there. Someone will say life goes on very well. Like in, if a person who's having two or three sons, one son may do very well. Another son may not do well. The third one might say, I want to take sannyasa and go, right? All these are possible, right? You have to learn to move on. Padma Patram Ambasa Evana Lipyate, right? So, dedicating the actions to the Lord, he who acts without attachment is not affected by papam, just as the lotus leaf is not wet by water.
Kayena Manasa Buddhya, Kayena Manasa Buddhya, Kevalairindriyairapi, Kevalairindriyairapi, Yoginakarma Kurvanti, Yoginakarma Kurvanti, Sangam Tyaktvatma Shuddhaye, Sangam Tyaktvatma Shuddhaye.
So, Karma Yogi's implementation is the topic that is being continued in this verse also, right? Yoginaha means the junior Gita student who wants to implement Karma Yoga. He listens to Jnana Yoga also, but he is ready to implement Karma Yoga only. So, these Karma Yoginaha, Karma Kurvanti, they are engaged in varieties of karma. The karma yogi must be involved in more and more karma because he wants to use karma for what? For chitta shuddhi, right? Since he wants to do karma for chitta shuddhi or refinement of the mind, he should engage in activity, but predominantly he has to focus on pancha maha yajna, right? More importantly, normal work also you can do, but the idea is to slowly increase the proportion of pancha maha yajna. We all know, we all understand that we have to go to office, we have to work, we have to earn, we have family commitments, society commitments, but it's important to also focus on pancha maha yajna and dedicate some time for it, right? Very, very important. And Dayananda Swamiji nicely says, right, you have been a consumer all the time, right? And then you should ask, when can I contribute to my family, to society, to country, to religion, to the environment, right? At some point in time, you have to do, right? Consumer contributor balance must be there, right? And by the time I die, I should become more contributor and less of a consumer, right? And that balance sheet must prove I have given more and taken less. If I give more and take less, when I die, the society will miss me because I am a contributor. This is an indicator, right? So when I'm consuming more, my death will be a celebration for the society, right? Therefore, yoginaha panchamaha yajna pradana karmani kurvanti, right? That's what is meant here. Kayena manasa buddhya. Kayena means with the help of body, they contribute. And where they cannot do much, they can contribute financially also if they cannot do it bodily. And if they cannot do both, they can contribute vocally by simply chanting and praying. Sarve bhavantu sukhinaha, sarve santu niramayaha. I can pray for the entire universe, right? And therefore, vacha has not been mentioned here, which is vocal, right? We can supply. And then manasa means emotionally or mentally, I can become a well-wisher of all. I can have a goodwill for everyone. I can give love, empathy, compassion. Even listening to somebody's pain patiently, that gives relief to the other person. Because sharing somebody's pain will reduce the impact, right? And in fact, I keep saying some of the things which we don't even consider as help or manushya yajna is, I see lot of Swamiji's students, they don't know how to use the computer. They don't know how to make online payment, how to listen to the voice recording. We can help them even in that way. That is also a kind of karma yoga, which is a manushya yajna, right? So, manasa is mentally, if we can relieve somebody's pain, etc., right? So, therefore, manasa, empathizing, buddhya, intellectually, by sharing whatever I know, right? It's not that I keep on gaining knowledge and I don't share. I share in whatever way I can, right? Whatever little way. You need not be do a teaching with PowerPoint and, you know, a lecture. You can even share with your neighbors, your friends who are interested, who can come and listen to you, right? That way our knowledge also becomes clearer, right? And I keep on gaining knowledge and what happens is over a period of time, right, we are able to use, we do kayena, manasa as well as buddhya, and I already covered vacha. So, kevalair indriyairapi, it means with all the sense organs, right? Shankara says, without mamakara, without a sense of ownership, because the more I want to have more ownership, what will happen? I will hold on to possession. So, port reduction, I talked about two classes back, we can attempt in our own way by sharing more of our possessions, right? Without mamakara, may you share. Like the animals and the plants who are there to share, all these domestic animals and all the trees, etc., right? Why we cannot learn from them, right? Use the body also for paropakara, karma kurvanti. For what benefit? Sangam tyaktva. It's the same as the previous shloka. Without obsession with results, I declare to the Lord that I am interested in success, but I am willing to go through any result, right? So that attitude is the benefit that I get, right? And I can avoid impulsive reactions. That is the difference between karmi and karma yogi, right? Very important. Last week I was at a management school where I was actually talking about the difference between reaction and response. Pujya Swamiji has actually talked about it, Pujya Swami Dayananda Saraswati, in several occasions, and it's interesting to note that as a karmi, you are more prone to reactions. As a karma yogi, you will think and respond. So that is a response as compared to reaction. That happens through chitta shuddhi and mental refinement, right? So I can avoid impulsive reactions as a karma yogi, right? No flaring up, etc. We are able to develop better patience. Always, as I said, it is not a competition with somebody else. Where was I some time back and where am I now? That is all is important. Am I making an improvement, right? So, karmis cannot even listen properly. They are impatient, right? Therefore, a non-impulsive mind, that is a, when you have a non-impulsive mind, you start getting ready to listen, right? And I'm ready to take the experiences. And thereafter, I study and I deliberately respond to every situation instead of impulsively. It's called a non-reacting mind, right? And I think this is a very, very, they have special meditations and all in the Buddhist way for this, right? Some mindful meditation, etc., right? I don't know about Buddhism too much. But being conscious and taking guarded and proper kind of thought through responses and decisions. That is the important side benefit that we get, right? So, the spiritual refinement is called Atma Shuddhihi, right? And we enjoy a non-reacting mind by converting every experience into spiritual growth, right? Very, very important point, right? So, Atma Shuddhihi, and ultimately, Atma Shuddhihi is understanding that don't rely upon the external changing world for your security, right? That is the ultimate lesson that we learned, right? Don't depend upon the changing external world, external people, external relationship. Use them for growth, but do not get addicted emotionally, right? Every relationship should help me grow out of that relationship, and that is called Atma Shuddhi and a sannyasi's mind, right? Very, very important. So, without attachment, karma yogis perform action for the sake of purity with the body, mind, intellect and sense organs without identification, right? Identification with the body, mind.
Yukta karma phalam tyaktva, yukta karma phalam tyaktva, shanti mapnoti naishtiki. Shanti mapnoti naishtiki, ayukta kama karena, phale sakto nibadhyate.
Here, Lord Krishna points out that even the efficient implementation of just karma yoga will give a deep peace of mind, right? Even without becoming a spiritual jnani, even without knowing aham brahmasmi, by simply implementing karma yoga effectively, we can reduce our anxiety level. Our anxieties are because we are worried about the future. A karma yogi does not worry because he tells the Lord, I have the courage to face anything that comes by me, right? So I tell myself, with the grace of God, I can take anything like the shock absorber in the vehicles, right? Bhagavan and Bhakti is the shock absorber, right? Atmatvam girijamati prana shariram griham. In case you people have started chanting Shiva Manasa Stotram, you know that it comes there, right? That's where we are chanting and we are saying to the Lord in my heart, right? People outside may support me or not. Often in danger, people may leave me, right? Friends may leave me at that time. When I have lot of money, there may be everybody around me, right? But it doesn't matter, right? I have the Lord in my heart. With the support of the Lord, I will be able to confront any situation, right? So, karma yogi is a bhakta, and this bhakti gives him courage and freedom from anxiety and preoccupation. So, those preoccupations will come down and Gita study will become deeper, right? Because a preoccupied mind does not listen continuously. Now and then it will go home, it will go to some son, daughter, office, then it will come back to the class, right? husband, then again class, right? There are a lot of gaps in between. When I drop my preoccupation, the entire, say, 60 minutes in my mind is strong enough to absorb the teaching. Who says this? Krishna says, Yuktaha, here means Karma Yogi, the junior student. Karma Phalam Tyaktva, dropping the anxiety with regard to future, right? Karma Phala Sangha, dropping the anxiety with regard to Karma Phalam, Naishtikim Shanti Mapnoti. He attains a peace, a stress-free mind, right? Now, everybody's problem these days is stress, right? So, if any of you are interested, I just remembered, you can read How to Lead a Stress-Free Life by Pooja Swamiji, Swami Dayananda Saraswati. Very nice book. It's available on Amazon also. It's about 20-25 pages, that's all. Or you can even get a Kindle version and read. Very nice. You will see that how all of this is so easily implemented, right? So, it will become a, now therefore, shantim, stress-free, apnoti, right? So, the lifestyle of Karma Yoga implementation will lead to this. Nishta here means Karma Yoga Nishta, means implementation of the Karma Yoga teaching. As a result of that, shanti will come. Whereas, ayuktaha, one who does not implement Karma Yoga, and the one who does not implement Dhyana Yoga also, he does not want to follow, right, either way of life, whether junior student or senior student. He is a ayuktaha, or as we call him, karmi, right? So, kama karena, because of his anxiety with regard to the future, kama here means desire, obsession, right? Means, and kara means the force, right? Because of that, phale, all the time thinking of the future, he never lives in the present, right? Somebody nicely said that most of the people live life in absentia. When I am here, I am not here. I am mentally somewhere else. When I am at home, I am mentally in office. When I am in office, I am mentally at home, right? So, in the class, my mind is somewhere else, right? So, this is what I was talking about, mindfulness, right? So, practicing to be mindful, right? And aware, right? And making sure that my mind is behind it. That this deliberate living is called the yoga way of life, right? So therefore, nibadhyate, he is bound. He is a person of violent reaction, who the ayuktaha, the karmi. In this way, he shouts, he screams on the phone. You will see such people, right? They get very angry and they cannot control. They will throw plates, right, etc. If the temperature of the coffee is just not right, they will throw, right? Those kind of things at home and in office, you can see that, right? So, here Krishna is saying, Arjuna, I want you to be at least a karma yogi and not become a karmi, right? That is the important point, right? So this, even the sincere practice of karma yoga itself will give a deep inner relaxation, right? So, if karma yoga itself is giving this, what to talk of? Jnana yoga's results, right? So, from 13th verse onwards, Lord Krishna comes back to the Jnana Yoga mindset.
Sarva karmani manasa, sarva karmani manasa, sanyasyaste sukambashi, sanyasyaste sukambashi, navadvare pure dehi, navadvare pure dehi, naiva kurvanna karayan, naiva kurvanna karayan.
This is the mindset, the perspective of a senior Gita student who has received at least Shravanam and Mananam and who has understood his own higher nature, right? So, what is the higher nature? Lord Krishna says, Vashi means the senior student of self-control. Because as a junior student, he has practiced discipline and sensory level, mental level control. So, a life of discipline has become a second vesham to him. So, Vashi means the body, mind, sense control. Sense complex is under his vasham, right? So, that is Vashi. He is no more a slave of the sense organs. He no more succumbs to the temptations of the Lord. He has practiced that through long karma yoga sadhana, and that's how he has become a senior student. Therefore, this Vashi Aste, he always remains with this following mindset. sarva karmani sannyasa. Even after becoming a senior student, the jnana yoga practitioner will continue to follow all the worldly activities as well as duties as before. He does not stop any one of them. Even panchamaha yajna, he will continue. Even at senior level, the way he looks at them is different as a junior student. That is the difference at the senior level and junior level, right? So as a junior student, he claimed, I am the mover of all the karmas. Now he refuses to claim, I am the doer, right? Or I did this, I moved this. He doesn't talk like that, right? He doesn't claim that also. He says the body is involved in action. Sense organs are involved. The mind is involved. But I am the Atma, the Sakshi Chaitanyam. By my mere presence, I bless the organs to do karmas. But I myself am not the doer of them. This identification with the karmas he renounces. That is said here. So sannyasasya, after renouncing what? Sarva karmani, all the karmas, right? Here karma means what? Karma abhimana, not action. Abhimanam towards the karma, right? So he does not give up the karmas, he gives up the doership, that is abhimanam. So he takes away from his mind, right, because of jnanam, right? The jnanam that he received from the chapter 2, 11th verse onwards of the Bhagavad Gita, which is that, I am not the body, I am not the mind, I am not the sense organs. So I am the consciousness principle, right? And you may remember the five features of consciousness. I am the consciousness, which is not a part, product or property of the body. I am an independent principle, which pervades and enlivens the body. I, the consciousness, am not limited by the boundaries of the body. I continue to survive even when the body-mind complex disintegrates, and after their disintegration, the surviving I am not available for transaction, not because I am not there, but the medium of transaction is not available. This consciousness principle is eternal, all-pervading, imperishable, which Lord Krishna revealed through a very powerful Gita Shloka. Do you remember that in the second chapter, in the 20th verse? Najayate mriyate va kadachit nayam bhutva bhavita vana bhuyaha ajonitya shashvatoyam puranaha nahanyate hanyamane sharire. This atma is neither born at any time nor does it die. It will neither come to existence nor will it disappear again. It is birthless, deathless, decayless and growthless. It is not affected when the body is affected. We saw this in 220, chapter 2, 20th verse. So Lord Krishna gives the shloka not just for chanting, but to claim the message as my own real nature. So the senior student implements the teaching of Lord Krishna, and therefore he says, I don't perform any good or bad action in my presence. The body does and the body reaps the result. Body is karta, body is bhokta, right? I am a karta, a bhokta, right? He practices this. Therefore, Lord Krishna says, sukam aste, the jnani remains comfortably relaxed without identification with the karma. And where does he reside? Navadvare pure. In this body, as a witness consciousness, right? Body is the container. The body is not me. The body is the residence. I am the resident. The resident never becomes identical with the residence. Right? The resident, this we must always remember. The resident can never become identical with the residence. Similarly, I am different from this body-mind complex. Right? So you might wonder from where this Navadvare Pure came. Right? So, the body is called the Puram. Puram means what? A city or town, right? Navadwaram, nine gates, right? In the olden days, they had huge gates to enter the city. So, body is compared to a place with nine counters. Counters for what? For transaction with the external world. Some of the counters are one-way counters, some are two-way, right? Now I went back to the Shankara Bhashyam to make sure that I got this right, the number 9, because Shankaracharya has in his Bhashyam written down which are the nine. So the five sense organs of knowledge are meant for receiving message from outside towards inside, right? External to internal is Jnanendriyam, right? Similarly, I also have five counters known as Pancha Karmendriyani. Jnanendriyam is for input, Karmendriyam is for output, right? And so both of these are there. Now, what are we talking here? And then we have a two-way instrument in the form of talking tongue and tasting tongue, right? Both are there, right? So the number of counters can be counted in many ways. But here, Krishna is counting it this way. Two eyes, two ears, and two apertures, right? For breathing, two nostrils. So two ears, two eyes, two nostrils make it six, and one mouth. That is seven counters, right? So we have to now account for two more. Shankaracharya says, seven are there in the head. That is why head is very important. And there are two others down below for the removal of solid waste and liquid waste. So that is how it becomes 7 plus 2. This is the number that Shankaracharya has explained in his Bhashyam, right? So, Dehi means one who is the possessor of the body. So once I say I am the possessor of the body, it is very clear that I am not the body, right? Therefore, Jnani looks upon the body as only a temporary possession. He never looks upon the body as himself. So he relaxes without any worries, tension or anxiety. Naiva kurvan, without doing any action whatsoever. Not only that, nakarayan, not persuading the instrument to do any action. Indirectly also, it does not command the organs to do action. Neither direct action nor indirect action. Thus, Atma is akarta and abhokta. So, a jnani internalizes this by claiming, I am that Atma. Right? Very important. Continuing. Na kartritvam na karmani. Na kartritvam na karmani. Lokasya srijati prabhu. Lokasya srijati prabhu. Na karma phala samyogam. Na karma phala samyogam. Swabhavastu pravartate. Swabhavastu pravartate. Here, Prabhu means the Atma. Okay. The higher nature which a jnani identifies as himself. How do we know all this? That Prabhu means Atma? It is thanks to Shankaracharya's Bhashyam. Obviously, he has got it from a Guru Parampara, but he has put it down in the form of Bhashyam. So, the higher nature which a jnani identifies as himself, right? From the Jnana Yogi's angle, Prabhu means I, the Atma. Why is it called Prabhu? The word Prabhu means the powerful one, right? And why do we say that Atma is powerful? Because Atma alone lends life to the body, mind, sense complex. It is like the electricity, which is a powerful force which makes all the gadgets to function, right? If the mic is amplifying the voice, if the fan is revolving, if the bulb is burning, it is because of electricity. So minus the electricity, the gadgets may be wonderful, but they are not going to be of any use. Similarly, body is an inert bundle of matter. Sense organs also, however complex they may be, they are all inert bundles of matter. Even mind, according to Veda, is inert, right? Inert force or principle. They are all functioning because of Atma, which is like the blessing electricity, right? Atma is not electricity. It is just being compared, right? Na kartritvam sujati. It does not create doership in the body-mind complex, does not create activities by itself, right? Na kartritvam sujati. Na karmani sujati. Karma has two meanings. One is action, other is objects that we want to accomplish through action. So, Shankaracharya takes the second meaning here for karmani. Means various objects of creation, right? So, the first one is action, the second one is objects, right? So, Atma does not create doership, Atma does not create action, Atma does not create objects of destination. In short, Atma does not do anything, right? Then why do we require an Atma? You should not ask that. It's exactly like electricity does not do anything. right? Except that by its mere presence, it's moving all of them, right? So Atma does not participate in any transaction. But without Atma, no transaction can take place, right? Na karmani lokasya means for the people of the world, right? Sujati, right? So what about karma phalam, the result of the action? Lord Krishna says the result also Atma does not decide. Na karma phala samyogam. Atma does not connect the doer and the result also, right? So Lord Krishna says it is the very nature of things to function according to their very swarupam. So if the fire burns something, it is not that somebody commands the fire to burn. It is the nature of the fire to burn. So similarly, every object in the creation has its own inbuilt nature. That's why we cannot keep quiet, right? Either because of the sattva, raja, tamoguna, depending on whatever is more proportion, it will keep making us do work, right? So that's why we are not able to sit quietly even in meditation, because mind will keep generating more and more thoughts, right? So everything has its own nature and things go on according to the law of nature and the law of karma. So what is Atma's role? By its mere presence, it just blesses everything. No thinking, no planning. Its presence is required for things to happen, right? So swabhavaha tu is the nature of things, otherwise called maya pravartate. It keeps on functioning. Atma's presence is just there, right? Very important.
Nadatte kasya chit papam, nadatte kasya chit papam, na chaiva sukrutam vibuhu, na chaiva sukrutam vibuhu, ajnanena vritam jnanam, ajnanena vritam jnanam, tena mukhyanti jantavah, tena mukhyanti jantavah. This is actually the corollary of the previous shloka, which is the description of the nature of Atma, right? Description of Atma and description of Jnani are both one and the same. Why? Because Jnani is the one who claims, I am the Atma. Understood? This is a very, very subtle point here, right? So, similarly, description of the body and description of the Ajnani, the spiritually ignorant person, will be one and the same. Why? Because Ajnani claims, I am the body. And therefore, Jnani claims this nature of Atma, Vibhuhu Papam Sukrutam Chana Adate. So, the Adate. So the Atma is akarta, not connected with any karma. Atma is abhokta, not connected with any karma phalam. If I associate myself with karma, I will have to associate myself with karma phalam also. So when I associate with karma, I am called karta, and with phalam, I am called bhokta. So they are just two sides of the same coin, right? So he says, vibhuhu, Atma, the Jnani, right? So in the previous shloka, Atma was called what? Prabhuhu, the powerful one. Note here, Vibhuhu means all pervading one. So this all pervading Atma na Adatte, right? So never receives the karma phalam. Atma never receives the karma phalam. Very important. Kasya chit of any functioning organ. Papam sukrutam va. Papam or sukrutam. Sukrutam is punyam, right? Papam or positive result. Both of them it does not take. This is the Jnani's vision of himself and the world. See, I switch between Jnani and Atma because they are synonymous, right? So now Lord Krishna says, unfortunately, majority of people do not have this wisdom. What wisdom? I am akarta, abhokta, Atma wisdom is lacking. So this lack of wisdom makes life a MBBS. Do you remember MBBS? Swamiji always tells, meaningless, burdensome, boring struggle. So by associating yourself as karta and bhokta, you convert life as MBBS, meaningless, burdensome, boring struggle. So if you don't have this wisdom,
Ajnanen avritam jnanam. This wisdom is concealed. By what? By ignorance, ajnanam. Right? Because of the avarana shakti of tamoguna. If the tamoguna is dominant, then that ignorance will conceal this knowledge. Right? Because of that, jantavaha mukhyanti. Every living being, especially human being, gets into a delusion and samsara. So how does ignorance create this problem? Once I am ignorant of the fact that I am the Atma, I am going to mistake myself as the body-mind complex. This is the first downfall. Then there is a series of downfalls, right? So first I mistake that I am the body-mind complex, right? And once I become an individual, as an individual, I am going to be insecure. An individual is always insecure, and insecurity is born right at the time of birth itself, right? Because of insecurity, I try to hold on to things, relationships, and as I go older, I hold on more and more. And this is called the ahankara and mamakara problem. So once I have ahankara and mamakara for my own security, I want to have a control over all these external objects, relationships, etc. I have a clear expectation of what my son should do, what my spouse should do, what my neighbor should do, all of this, right? So there is only a certain stage until we can control our children also. Beyond that, we cannot have any control. Whether it is our body, even our body after a certain age, we cannot have any control, right? Similarly, with children also, we should know up to when we can do that. And, you know, we can only control up to a certain stage. Very, very important point, right? So, and what happens is, because of our frustration, we start shouting, right? And shouting is not going to help at all, right? It is only going to lead to further problems. So, as Swamiji says, the frustration, right? You will have helplessness that will lead to anger. And anger will lead to frustration and finally depression itself, losing interest in everything. Life itself becomes a burden, right? Very, very important. If possible, we start praying, saying, why can't God take us? Why are we living here, etc.? In old age, this becomes a serious problem, right? Samsara is defined as the outlook or the perspective in which life appears as a burden. And this you can never avoid as long as you treat yourself as an individual associated with a ahankara and mamakara. Right? Only Atma Jnanam will help us address this. And Lord Krishna calls it what? Mohaha. Right? Even in Bhajagovindam, he speaks about Bhajagovindam, Mudamate. Right? And Sannihi Samprapte, Sannihite Kale, Nahi Nahi Rakshati, Dukrin Karane. Right? You cannot practice serious sadhanas when you have lost your faculties. Therefore, start whenever you find the purpose of that. So, tena mukhyanti, right? Today is the first and best day to start the practice of both karma yoga and the shravanam and mananam. That's what Krishna is telling. Don't delay or wait for some day, because this will help you assimilate the teaching as early as possible. And by assimilating the teaching in middle age, it really helps us face a lot of issues that we have while we are playing the role in as a family member, as a, you know, an employee, right, as a neighbor in society, etc. Right? So I'll stop here. Let's tell Purnamada. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Okay, we can now have questions. Let me see if there are any questions. In Shloka 5:14, please clarify, Atma does not create objects. Okay. Atma does not create objects is basically Atma is akarta, so it does not do any actions, neither does it directly create objects. Basically through actions only objects are created, but karmani can refer to objects also. So actions as well as objects, because Atma is akarta, it does not produce actions or objects of action. So that is the, yeah, that was the question. Then let me see if any hands are raised. Yeah. Mohana? It's self-muted. Ah, okay. Go ahead.
Namaskara. I'm so sorry. Again, I have a question.
No problem.
Just a request. You know, you talk about FIR, MBBS, and all those things. Can you put together that in one slide so I can, you know, print it out and get it? Because I keep forgetting again and again and again. And I'm very fond of these abbreviations.
I'll do that. I think we have a fellow student who has already done this. So I will just locate it. The abbreviations, I'll put them together. That will include ride, port, FIR reduction.
Yeah, and whatever is going to come in the future also, you will be coming up. And I never realized my MBBS will mean this.
I know.
It meant a lot to me, my MBBS.
I know. Swamiji is a very favorite one, and he would always say, the doctors, please don't mistake me, because it comes up very nicely, so I'm using it. He would say that.
Dhanyavada again, once again.
Dhanyavada. Anybody else? Yeah, I think I, let me just see. Yeah, I don't think there are any other questions. Let me just see the questions also, one second. Is the spiritual world bigger than the material multiverse as according to the Upanishads and the Bhagavatam? The spiritual world is consciousness. So consciousness is all pervading. And definitely I wouldn't even want to use the word bigger, because I think it is vibhuhu and all pervading. So everything is folded or resolved into it ultimately. So it has to be, the material multiverse has to be within it. That's what the Upanishads say. So Sunil, does it answer your question? Sunil Kumar? Yeah, I think you're muted anyway. Okay, so that's fine. I think there are no more questions. So we'll meet next week. And as I said, since many people have joined later, I just thought that from next week onwards, we will take turns and each one of you can recite the Dhyana Shlokas, because I think by now you must all be very familiar with the Dhyana Shlokas. So next class, one of you can, you know, whoever logs in by about 8:24, 8:23, I would normally log in, and 8:25 we start. So anybody who wants to chant can put up their hands and we can take turns. So next week, one of you can chant. Hari Om.